was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
Where?
So many aliens living in your town.
Are you scared of aliens? Well, you should be.
Hello, weirdos. How's it going out there? I don't know if you heard this before. Of course, we started it off with some technical problems. But with that said, I think we're back on live. YouTubers, let us know in the chat room if we are on live. If not, I'll just completely talk about nothing for no reason. Vicky, how are you?
I'm good.
I see that you're drinking a beer tonight.
Yes. Take two. Yes. Beer is my happy drink.
Nah. What about wine, though?
Wine makes me a little more mellow and depressed.
So wine makes you depressed?
Yes.
Okay. So if you were listening about 5 minutes ago, you've heard this conversation already, but we're going to act like it never happened. I'm so opposite with wine on you.
Really?
If I drink wine, Becca, what happens when I drink wine?
You get, you like to text on your phone.
I get horny. I get horny, Becky. I get horny.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to tell the full story.
But I can see how one might get depressed on wine. I think any alcohol you can get kind of depressed on.
Yeah. I think it has to do with your body and how it's processing and what it's made of. So beer for me. Thumbs up.
I think it's what you also bring into your drinking. If you are depressed before you start drinking and then you start drinking, I think you're going to be depressed when you're drinking.
Yep.
If you are like, whoa, I want to get laid tonight, and then you start drinking, Beckett, I think you're going to get laid.
Tequila.
Tequila is the sex drink.
Yeah, that's right.
That and Long Island iced tea.
It's supposedly more of a stimulant. Wine's great. Like a couple glasses of wine, just take the edge off of a long day. I think that's good. But yeah, it's hard to drink a couple glasses of wine and go like tear some rug, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And Denny's, you drinking at all tonight?
I'm not. Drinking some water.
I do want to apologize to the audience when Beckett laughs. Chewy just goes ape shit with his barking.
I think he's trying to outdo me.
He is. He's trying to out-amplify you. Let us know in the comment section. Can you hear Chewy barking? Is it that distracting? A lot to get to. Now, Vicky Thumbelina, who is one of our associate producers in the KVJ show, she sends a lot of great stuff to the Weird One Over podcast. She wanted to kind of pick your brain. You and your daughter went to Salem recently?
Yes.
Okay. She had gone there before, I believe, if I remember the email right. And she, you know, certain places she got good feelings, bad feelings, ghost feelings. Some places she did not. When you were in Salem, what was your experience, and would you walk into a room where you would just get knocked over the head with emotion of a ghost?
Yeah, I mean, that can happen to me. Honestly, the most spirit interaction I had in Salem was actually at our hotel, in our actual hotel room. We had a female spirit there that, you know, showed herself a couple nights.
What did the female spirit do? What was she wearing?
She was just kind of in the corner. She had her hair was long and it was loose and it had like some wave to it. And she was just wearing like this white long gown thing. And the first night I basically said, okay, I know you're there. I'm trying to sleep. And she pretty much kept her distance over in the corner. And then she showed up like the next night, same thing. I'm just like, okay, I know you're here, but I'm sleeping. And they usually respect you. Now, when we went to different places, I asked some of the shop owners about activity and about things being haunted in Salem. And one person who ran one of this little catch-all kind of shops that also had a specialty area in the back, like you could buy special sages and all kinds of, like I bought black salt there and things like that. His theory is that it's really like the ghosts are so over it in Salem with the tourists that they like go someplace else, that there's really not that many spirits around. One of the places that we went to the Satanic Temple. And when we were in this one room in particular, I got touched and all this. And when we asked the guy who was running it, we said, has anybody reported paranormal activity? And he's like, nah. He said, I've slept here before. No big deal. Nothing. So it was interesting, you know, some of the places. Now, usually when I am on vacation, I'm not tuned in, so I don't try to feel things. And it's almost like my shield's up and they're like, okay, Vicky's on vacation.
Question. Now, if you're on vacation and a ghost really wants to talk to you, get your attention, would a ghost be dressed like in a Hawaiian shirt, little suntan lotion on the nose, just to kind of get in the same vibe as you are?
No, they would be dressed in whatever their period clothing was. So.
Yeah, people always ask me, so what's the deal with clothing and ghosts? You know, people report a ghost. It's always the, oh, he had a suit on. He was smoking a cigar. Can ghosts change their wardrobe? Can they do a Lady Gaga?
I don't know. I honestly can't answer that because I've never seen a costume change on a spirit. I usually feel that they are dressed in period clothing for me to determine when they were alive. So they're going to show me an attire that I'm going to be able to assign to a time period.
Okay, question then. Let's say a dude got killed in 1968 and he's trying to get a hold of you. He never wore hippie clothes, but to kind of make sure you know, he's from the late 60s. He's wearing all the hippie bullshit. Is that something a ghost would do just to get your attention, even though that ghost in the real life never wore hippie clothes?
More than likely, they would show me something from the time period. Just so you know, in case people think that I'm crazy or whatever, something just touched the top of my head as we're talking about this. And you know me, I'm not one for drama or making stuff up, but that's why I'm touching my hair.
Not to interrupt you, but the ghost activity has kicked up greatly. In fact, I had a weird story. I had a clip for today that I sent our producer, Birdney, and I sent it to Denny's. And it is a sound that keeps coming out of my closet. And it sounds like the friggin' tundra. Or the Hoth system in Empire Strikes Back, Beckett.
You know that reference,
Beckett. It just sounds like there's a snowstorm coming out of my closet. I thought it was my Mountain Dew fridge. It is not my Mountain Dew fridge. It sounds like there is some kind of a snow cap or an iceberg or a snowstorm, Denny's.
I mean, have you debunked it, like, for the air conditioning sounds?
Yes, I have turned it off. Okay. I have turned off. I unplugged my Mountain Dew fridge. I've turned off the air condition, and then I've gone to bed. There's nothing on. And I wake up to, whoosh. So I recorded it. I have a great clip of it, but I sent it to Birdney, and I sent it to Denny's, and I guess the file keeps on not sending. So what the shit's that about, Vicky? Yeah.
I mean, actually, it might kind of tie in because your closet is very close to where you had this hung over your bathroom. And the sounds and what I felt when I touched this, you very well could have a vortex. And because that's an opening between the two worlds, I mean, I know when I get near a vortex, it makes me dizzy because there's motion and there's movement. So maybe that's what you're actually hearing, the movement of the vortex.
In the morning when I get up, so I'll get up like, I don't know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. to let Chewy out to go pee because he's got a weak bladder, Beckett. Mm-hmm. And that will be the time where I will be alert for a little bit, for a good 10 to 15 minutes. And then I'll, you know, maybe drift off into a terrible sleep. But during those 15 or 20 minutes, I'll be laying, trying to go to bed. And then I'll hear, I mean, it does. It sounds like snow, wind,
right.
out in a mountain area. And I will have the audio. The audio will be here for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't know, something messed up, Vicky, as it always does.
If I didn't have headphones and I weren't on the air, I'd be doing like this to my hair. I'm doing the old wig thing where you pat your head.
Because you're feeling something right now.
Yeah, something is like really messing with my head right over here, and it's like I would do this if I could.
Without being a Johnny come lately, as we've been talking about this, I keep on feeling a hot, almost like a lava candle burning down my shoulders as we're talking about this. There's something without a doubt grabbing or physically doing something to me as well.
Yeah.
So this goes to the next email. What are you waiting for, Bird, is the title. This is where your expertise, Vicky, will come in. And then I'll talk to a Beckett. I'll talk to a Denny's because I know you've been very quiet on this podcast. Bird, why are you doing nothing about the ghost in your closet? What the shit, in your own words? You have sleep problems because you have a ghost, dipshit. I don't get why you don't want it out of your place. Stop being so stupid. Get rid of the ghost. Vicky, what's your thoughts? Alex from Miami.
Thank you, Alex, for the backup. I appreciate it.
You do say what the shit a lot. That's a good quote.
Yeah, he's quoting me.
I mean, now, I mean, honestly, I'd have to go back. I'd have to go and see if you have a vortex, because now you have multiple issues. Because with the open vortex, you have people, not just the one that we were, that we recorded before. Now you have anybody coming in and out through that vortex. So there would have to be a cleansing, and we would have to close the vortex.
Can he jump into the vortex?
No.
No. That's a good question, because you know what, Vicky? I need a little bit of adventure. I would to love one. To jump into a vortex.
I
right
think you
now.
Need to take one for the team and just
yeah. Can we? And I'm not at all trying to taunt ghosts. I'm not trying to summon Bibzabub or whatever the devil's name is. I'm just saying, is there something I can do to where, like Beckett is saying, sacrifice myself, go into a vortex, go into a thing where I almost like poltergeist, where I pull something out. To show proof, you know me, I'm a believer, I love all this stuff, but I also want to prove some of these son-of-a-bitch skeptics wrong.
Yeah. Well, you're never going to be able to prove anything to them. I mean, literally, we talked about it, a ghost could bitch slap them in the face, and it's not going to make a difference. Now, the danger in you doing that, if you want to do something like that, first of all, it hasn't been done yet, so...
All
you know.
Right, cutting edge, bitches.
However, I wouldn't advise that you do it in your own home. We'll find you another vortex.
I'm leaving here in 4 months. Why would I not do it here?
All right, well, tell me before you leave, though.
To answer that person's question why I don't get rid of it, because I am a man of material. I like when shit's going on. I know that some people think there's a devil living in my closet, or they also think I'm a liar, Beckett. They think I lie about this stuff, which I understand that as well. If I was listening to a radio goon on a radio platform, I'd say... That person's lying to get ratings.
Right.
I know that I'm not lying. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the truth. Vicky, you know I'm not lying.
Yeah, and we know that video was not manipulated either.
It'd be like if you had a podcast on relationship advice and you just stayed away from relationships, you probably wouldn't be able to give a lot of great advice, right?
Damn it, Beckett. You're blowing out my speaker. Chewy's barking. Danny, you're awfully quiet about these subjects.
Yeah, well, we've had people call in saying you guys should do another investigation on it. So, I mean, people want more proof, like you say.
Yeah, no, Denny's is...
They're always asking why you don't pursue it or try to stop it, or why you don't do
it. And I think my DVR is still here, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
It is.
I mean, it's still here.
It's by my laundry. And by the way, it is laundry month. That's why I'm wearing my tight little titty teddy shirt.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If Jay Bird showed up wearing that in one of your visions, like, what would you say what era he was from?
Yeah.
The idiot era.
The fast food era.
The Walmart era. Because I got this from Walmart, $8.99, y'all. I trash Walmart a lot, but they have good bakery goods, and they have good clothing.
You think Walmart over Target?
I like Target. Uh-huh. Target is good. Walmart's convenient. Walmart's cheaper than Target. Mm. And Walmart's got better snacks, dog. I'm sorry.
Really?
Fuck yeah. Oh, trying not to swear on the podcast. I've gotten a few emails. Jason, what are you doing, man? Why are you dropping F-bombs, man? Kids are listening, man. So, you know.
Even though we say 18 plus.
It is 18 plus. I kind of disagree with people who have an issue. I'm not talking hate language. Hate language is awful. I think we all can agree on that. Mm-hmm. But if you got a couple adults talking about shit and someone says fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pull those bootstraps.
Well, if you ever seen a bottle of JMO on the table, the podcast, there's probably going to be some F-bombs. Yeah. Right?
Would you like a shot of JMO?
No, I'm good for right now.
Do you want a beer? You want some water, kale chips, ice chips?
No, I'm good for now. I actually have my green tea that I left here last week.
By the way, Becky.
It's really green now.
It's probably pretty good.
Green and fuzzy.
Me and you need to do a new round of rebuilding Bird.
Okay, I'm into it. No, I need to rebuild Beckett at this point.
That's what you were saying.
I kind of don't want my motivational teacher to be down and out.
No, I'm not. I'm not out.
All right. do you want to give a shout out to the chat room? We already have one dislike.
Chat room.
All right. To that person, go.
Home.
I didn't know which word I should use.
You could have said the F word. I do want to give a huge shout out to the chat room. Last podcast was the most likes we've ever gotten on any podcast ever. So just imagine if we lived in a world where the 43 people listening, Vicky, liked our podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it would go from, I mean, we have 14 likes right now, and then we have one dislike.
And all it takes is a click.
Again, I would love to know who that dislike is. I want to profile him, Becky.
Who that person hiding is.
That hater.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch hater.
I click on it, it was Denny's.
And just trolling you. And maybe he's doing that to teach us something.
That's right.
I think with all that said, I think it's time for a little bit of
Denny's Random Facts.
Well, so Jen couldn't make it because she wasn't feeling good. She usually brings the wine. So I pulled this fact just because I thought this was kind of cool. But if you mix wine with Coca-Cola, it's actually a drink called Calimoto XO. It is one part red wine, one part Coca-Cola, and it's been around since the 1970s. It's actually an iconic drink and one of Spain's most international drinks.
I like it. It's almost like a sangria.
It is. So I was anticipating wine, and I know Bird's got Coke, so I was going to try it out. But next week, we'll try this one out.
Oh, we ain't got no wine.
We got no wine, so.
Damn. But they try to do social experiments.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? But yeah, that's an actual drink if you want to look it up.
As always, Vicky is our educator. She grades Denny's on these factoids from an A+ as his best to an F- for his worst. Vicky, what was that first factoid?
The minuses and the pluses.
I'm not wowed. So you're starting off with a C.
Damn.
Yeah, it would have been a lot better with the example. Yeah. Had Jen not been sick, she would have came over and that would have
gave you a sympathy laugh, and then we would have had the actual wine.
See what you guys think of
this. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm sorry. Not to interrupt you. Is Becca texting during the podcast?
Well, I just got tagged in a photo that she said because I was on time.
I tagged you when you walked in.
I know.
Here
I just got the notification.
O'clock.
They've been all over the show.
I was seeing what Vicky was tagging me in.
Just say a little focus would be nice, Becca.
So this is a U.S. Navy tradition that I never heard of, but no submarine is ever considered lost at sea. Subs that don't return, including the 52 lost during World War II, are actually still considered on patrol. And every Christmas, sailors manning communication hubs send holiday greetings to the listed ones that are considered still on patrol. It's an honor amongst the people to never have lost someone at sea.
Wow.
Weird, right?
That is weird.
That's very odd.
It's real weird. Vicky doesn't sound that impressed.
No,
I
do like that one.
Okay.
Because it's sentimental. It's interesting. He got back up to an A.
Makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
I wonder why they do that with subs and not ships.
It's a weird thing. Yeah, I was reading into it, and it's an old U.S. Navy tradition. They've never, ever considered one ever gone missing.
Huh.
It must be something, the camaraderie they have.
Right.
To keep it on a weird tip, there's a town in Japan that is filled with scarecrows. Basically, the entire town was a ghost town and left, and a woman made it her sole duty to refill everybody's position in town with handmade scarecrows. So you can go visit it.
That's wild.
It's really, really creepy.
How crazy is that lady?
Okay. A+ for that one.
So
wow,
weird.
A+, Denny's. Yeah. You're crushing it, kid.
Here was one for Beckett, because you had talked about plants. And I do believe, I'm not mentioning if, they have sentience or not. But they did find in a study with tobacco plants and tomato plants that they actually emit ultrasonic squeals when they're stressed or deprived of water. They place microphones 4 inches away from them, and they can actually pick up sounds from the plants when they're cut. Weird, right?
That is interesting.
They actually squeal in a high frequency.
Sad.
Super sad.
It is real sad.
So the study further went into that maybe, plants are a lot more sentient than we give them credit for.
Could you imagine that ferns have emotions? They have hearts, Vicky?
Yeah, well, I mean, I talk to my plants. My ferns, actually, on my front porch, they're Phineas and Ferb. And I talk to them all the time.
It's a good name.
You know, so.
Can I ask you an honest question? Are you talking to the plants for the plants? Are you talking for Vicky?
I talk for the plants.
That's a
for
funny
the plants.
Question.
So the neighbors don't think I'm talking to myself.
Because I would probably be talking to the plants from Jay Bird.
You're like, am I right, plants? Am I right?
Fern, I don't know. I'm dating this girl. Is it going to work out? Shit.
It'd be crazy if they actually gave good advice back.
Isn't that something, though? Imagine we find out broccoli has feelings.
Yeah,
that's why it smells like farts. They're all scared as they're about to get murdered.
As they're being killed, they're releasing their bowels.
Broccoli does smell like farts. I know people love it.
Cauliflower, broccoli. Love broccoli.
I get why people like it, because I think when you put enough cheese in broccoli, it tastes great. I'm just saying, the preparation, it smells horrific.
Hmm.
Broccoli and fish is a rough dish for the house. It'll make your house smell for a minute.
And Kevin from the KVJ show loves both of them. Oh, when he's eating broccoli fish.
Yeah, both of them are terrorists.
Oh, Virginia. Don't, Denny's, as you were.
So there's a weird thing that happens to chicken that if you put it in a container for too long and you open it, it smells like farts immediately.
Ew.
Breast chicken, the broiled kind. If you have fried chicken.
Fried chicken's a different animal.
Fried, you can keep fried for a minute.
For a month.
Yeah, it's not going to smell like a body decomposing. But if you broil some chicken, within 12 hours, that shit smells like farts.
You know what actually smells like farts? Is kimchi. You ever had kimchi?
Never.
It's fermented cabbage. You never had that?
Oh, jeez. I would never be caught just with my reputation alone, Beck, and I can't be eating cabbage.
It's really fermented.
You should just bust that on the KVJ show. Just bring in some, like, kimchi or whatever.
They'd never buy it.
They'd be like, oh, did Becky get to you again?
They'd never buy it. You're on the take, bird.
That legitimately smells like farts.
Awful.
Because it's fermented. It's good for your probiotics and your gut health.
Oh, yeah.
What bums me out is there are times I'll bring a doggy bag home, and I love a doggy bag. I love going to a restaurant. I love bringing extras home. I love laying in my bed. I do. Air conditioned, 68, very cold, not even on auto, on full. And then I'm like, it's like 11:30 p, something cozy is on, and I keep on thinking about the doggy bag in my refrigerator. And to me, that's the closest thing to heaven I know on this earth.
The doggy bag?
Yes, but
the whole scenario.
The whole scenario. You're right. That's a good question. But it does bum me out when there's something delicious. And it's only a couple hours in the refrigerator. It kind of smells like farts. It brings me down a bit.
There's a lot of foods that will turn into farts so quickly.
All right, Dennis, keep going.
To keep it on that Japan weirdness for you, Japan has over 5 million operating vending machines currently within the country, making it that there is one vending machine per 23 people. It is the country that has the most vending machines per capita in the entire world.
I bet they're fancy, too. I bet they're cool.
Weird ones. They got ones with women's underwear in them.
Yeah, I see that a lot. Where in Japan, there's some really, I mean, may I say and dare to say, kind of cool vending machines.
Well, what's weird about Japan is a lot of things, but one thing stands out is their censorship on nudity. It's very light, right? But then they have game shows, but they blur it out. They show it all, but they blur out, you know, the spots. I find that pretty risque, considering how buttoned up we are over here.
I remember seeing a documentary back in the day. Probably, I was about 18, so I was legal. It was it was about Japan porn. And correct me if I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'm not trying to speak out of turn. But I thought in some of the porns, they take tape and cover the private parts so it looks like they're simulating the porn.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're having sex, but they're not.
They blur it out, too, in that same sense, so you can't really see what's happening. Just the intercourse portion.
It's so weird.
We have that, though. It's Skinamax.
Yeah, but I mean, Skinamax ain't going to move the needle back.
But what's weird, even in cartoons that have transposed over to American audiences, they used to have nudity in those, whereas the American ones were adapted for the American audience.
Vicky, what are your thoughts on the Western world here? Because we're very...
We're founded by prudes.
We're kind of prudish when it comes to nakedness. In fact, we had a topic today, I mean, and it's growing, by the way, where guys can take off their shirts and girls can't. And by the way, I am pro everyone take off their shirt. I think that's how we are free and equal. Mm. But there is a movement now. Yes, Vicky Roller.
Well, I'm free everybody keeping their shirts on.
Vicky's rolling her eyes at me. Do you think that we all should be able, if Birdney or you wanted to go to a beach and take off your shirt and let the tatas fly like a Beckett, like a Denny's, like myself, should you be allowed to?
No prompting from the audience.
Because Brittany, our producer, says yes. I can hear her saying yes. And I'm siding with Brittany on this one. Vicky?
Well, I'm going to have to be the odd man out because society has made female breasts part of the sexual experience.
A sexual organ.
And time out, y'all. With that said, we have a head-to-head impromptu battle. Birdney versus Vicky, master debater, who wins? Vicky's got the stance of, yes, we should cover our titties up. Birdney
our memories.
Birdney says, you know what? Let them fly. Brittany, you start the debate. You have 30 seconds.
All right. So I agree that, you know, America especially has sexualized women, so that it would be negative. But I think the more naked we are and the more accepting it is, the more it's going to lower that stigma. So, like, think of Europe where there's nude beaches and everything. If you make it less sexualized by going, oh, I see naked women all the time. I go to the beach when I was little. I saw boobs there. Then it's not going to be so sexualized. I think the reason it's so taboo is because we are so private.
Vicky, counterpoint.
Well, she made a good point.
However,
I don't want to walk around seeing women's breasts. That's just me.
But do you want to see man titties either?
No, okay. I told you I want everybody covered up.
So, okay, well, with that said, though, let's just say that we all have great titties, bad titties, gross titties, small bit, all the whole spectrum. Should we all be allowed to take off our shirt and have a cocktail at a place where you're allowed to have a cocktail and take your shirt off?
Society would have to change a lot for that to be able to happen, where it's not going to cause an issue.
They have to be tan.
Beckett, you're a man. You don't have the right to talk about this.
Tan.
They have to be tan. That's why you can't talk, because you're a man talking about tan titties. Yeah.
Well, you know, even if it was a guy, it just looks funny, and it makes it more awkward if I just had white nipples, like, are in the area around my nipples. Don't you think? Don't you think it should all be one color? But, like, say I pulled my tank top off and I had this, like, ugly tan.
Keep talking.
Quick digging the hole.
Keep digging the hole.
That's it.
Time out. Chewy, baby. Chewy, it's okay, bud. I love you.
Hey, Chewy. Chewy, come here.
I mean, I think there's going to be lots of things we just have to get used to that we don't like seeing. There's many things on a day-to-day basis I don't want to see, but get over it.
I do agree with Birdney, where when you leave your house, there's going to be things that you, A, morally don't agree with, spiritually don't agree with, and if you're going to be offended by it, you're going to live, in my opinion, a troubled, constantly fighting, constantly at odds kind of life, because there's some things you're not going to change. You know, you go to a pool and there's some overly weight guy who's got hairy titties and he's rubbing his titties and he's eating chicken. He's got chicken on his mouth, Beckett. It's grossing you out, but you don't have to look at it.
Right.
It depends on where he's standing. He's blocking my son, then I do have to see him.
He's in the front of an elementary school. No, I'm just totally kidding. This guy's at a pool. I'm just saying that there's things that you're going to walk out to that you're not going to agree with.
I just think that we have so many other things that people are up in arms. We don't need to add anything else to the mix right now.
I would be okay if everybody took off their shirt. Good, bad, indifferent.
Well, I think it's dress code. Like, you can't go to Houston's in a sleeveless shirt. You know what I mean? It's just not for
I don't agree with that either. Although, I don't agree with sleeveless shirts, but I don't agree with blocking the douchey sleeveless
shirt.
Yeah,
but no one wants to see hairy armpits while you're trying to, like, eat a nice meal, right? You know? Yeah.
Are they tan?
If they're well manicured, it's not as bad.
You know? I don't have well manicured. I mean,
you got to take some clippers to it.
I do. I'm not dating anybody right now. You know, when you're not dating, you kind of let yourself go a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, I think it's the opposite.
Oh, well, aren't you just so fucking perfect? Look at this guy. No, I'm always manicured.
No, I would make a case that that's worse. Right?
No, I think if you're not dating somebody, and if I had a date, baby, if I had a date, I would totally trim my armpit.
You'd manscape?
Of course I would.
That's presumptuous.
But no, I didn't say I would. Hey, chat room, let me know. Is Chewy bothering you?
Do you have a Chewy toy?
I do.
How about a rawhide?
Well, okay.
He gave him a bone.
I just gave him a rawhide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, Chewy, in his older age, is just getting a little bit more freaked out with stuff. I'm going to go ahead and try to pet him. Vicky, you...
Brittany.
Yes.
You wrong. Okay? You wrong.
I'm wrong.
You wrong. No. I mean, I can see your point, definitely. I mean, when it comes to equality and saying that if it's okay for this person, because I've seen some men that definitely need to put that shirt back on. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of women that, you know, would be like, okay, that's nice looking. I personally don't want to have a conversation with somebody whose boobs are down to their knees. That's just me. So if they're covered up, I don't have to worry about that.
It is interesting how different cultures, it's fine. Like in terms of like basic, you know, Native Americans and indigenous people, it's fine. And then, yeah, somehow at certain points, certain censorship and religion and different things came into the mix and whatever. And I think where I land on it is the fact that it's not a sexual organ, that it should be treated as such, because I think right now it seems sexual because of how taboo it is. And I believe that just like, you know, at one point showing an ankle, you know, you were considered a floozy or whatever the word was back then. You know what I mean?
Well, remember when Elvis first showed his pelvis?
Oh, yeah.
People were
up in arms.
My gosh, you would have thought, you know, he whipped out his private parts.
Yeah.
And it's true. I think, like, if you look at history or anything like that, that the more loose you are with things, the better it's become in society. Like people, again, like when you go to Europe, they're just like, yeah, they're naked.
Right.
Well, like, whatever.
So I want to ask the question. This will be the audience question of the day. Should we allow everyone just to be able to have the legal right to take off their shirt? Guy, girl, no matter who you are, you're at the beach, take it off. Let us know in the comment section. If you could, though, and I know it's annoying for me to go through this whole preface thing, just wait for the podcast to upload and then do it in the comment section on our YouTube channel. I can't tell you when you guys like and comment after the video uploads what that does for our podcast. It helps us out greatly. We are trying to get to the next level. And the only way we can get to the next level is if you guys do that. And last week, you guys came out in droves liking the podcast. So that means a lot. We get a lot of emails of people saying, how can I help the podcast? I love y'all. I love Beckett's laugh. I love Vicky's wit, Denny's chest, Bird's left titty. Let it just share, like, comment. All right, I'm done. I'm done whoring ourselves out.
I like it.
But if I don't whore ourselves out, I look at the no one likes it.
Maybe we should do a topless show.
Beckett, if you went topless, it might be our biggest podcast. Can I pencil that in for next week?
Maybe.
Oh.
I got to get tan.
I do want to bring Denny's back over here for this question.
Come here, Chewy.
Now, we always get critiques with the podcast, and, you know, we welcome that. We want to get better as a crew.
Yeah, it's like a little feedback box.
Exactly, Beckett. Now, this one comes from Chelsea Kramer in our YouTube chat room section, and she has this comment. I just want to get Denny's opinion. Jay Bird, love you, man, but stop talking over everyone. It's obnoxious. Now, Denny's, I do want to get your opinion. What's your thought when you hear a comment like that?
Well,
so I would.
I think it's
okay. So I think it's unfair to say that. Go ahead, Denny.
I agree. I think that.
But here's what I want to say to Chelsea. Sometimes we got some. Go ahead, Denny's.
All right. I think I know what's going to happen.
But Chelsea. I think I handled that comment. All right. Well, we have some other stuff that I want to get to.
Well, I just want to say I think you do a very good job of going around and making sure if someone has been talking a little while that you include the other person in the conversation. I think you do a great job as the host.
Vicky, I love the backup, and this was not a Kiss Jay Bird's Ass segment.
No, but I seriously think you do.
I just have a tough time with critiques.
you're Aaron Rodgers. You're quarterbacking it.
Thanks, Beck.
We're just catching passes.
Beck, I gotta tell you, you're a fucking sweetheart.
You look young today, dog.
You look real young. Oh, me?
Yeah. I was going around, too.
Chewy! Baby! Sometimes he has to hear the assertiveness, Vicky. By the way, there's a new movement, I don't know if you guys know this, where you're not allowed to yell at your pets anymore. And you're not allowed to call them pets, because if you say, I have a pet, you're saying it's an object. PETA's pissed off about it. Some of the social justice warriors are pissed off about it. If you yell at a dog, and you're like, for example, if I'm walking Chewy, and his blind ass is about to walk into a cactus, and I go, Chewy, no, no, Chewy, no, they would get on my ass for saying, You do not yell at an animal. Would you like to be yelled at back at? Would you like to be spoken to that way?
Yeah, you yell at a kid. You yell at a kid all the time. You know, yeah. It's a little bit of a digression. I was jogging down the sidewalk the other day, and a school bus had pulled up, and kids were coming off, right?
Were you shirtless?
I was wearing a tank top.
And were you tan?
I was getting tan at the time. And I'm coming down, and it was a very wide sidewalk down, I think it was Olive or Dixie. And we're going down to like the old Key Lime House, I think. So we're coming down, and a bunch of kids come off. So I was moved to the left. I'm just, you know, lightly jogging. One kid kind of like stumbled out of the bus, probably because his pants were at his, you know, below his ass, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think because I was jogging by and he just kind of come off the bus, I startled him. I don't know if he was embarrassed in front of his friends, but I just, you know, I had my headphones in, my sunglasses on, I just kept jogging, you know. And then he started yelling some, like, affinities, like, I think he wanted to fight me, or at least act like, you know, he was going to fight me.
Friends.
Yeah, and as a 37-year-old male, I know the right thing to do.
You
is just
his
a,
ass.
Yeah, I should have. Just,
the right thing to do is a choke slam.
Right. Well, you know, nothing good's going to come out of me these days doing anything, whether I gave him the bird, whether I ran back and said something, or, you know, the only thing you got to do is eat a humble pie and just keep jogging, because nothing good's going to come out of it, as hard as that is to do. But I think that back
being a teacher.
Right. Yeah. But back in the olden days or whatever, like, everything wasn't perfect, but I think, you know, a community used to take part in raising kids, right?
Yeah.
And for me, like, that kid needed to go back and grab by the ear or whatever the thing needs and be like, listen, you know, mofo, like, you know, you don't talk to adults like that. And I think that kids getting away with that and not being disciplined anymore, and not only by their parents, but by the community. Like, you go into the store and you're like, you're welcome, you know? Like, I think that that's, the old saying, it takes a village.
Yeah.
I think it's important for other adults around to be like, you know, there's a certain level of respect, if that makes sense. So I think, you know, the cushiness and not being able to yell or say anything or discipline someone, I think is a bad thing, whether it's for a dog or a kid. That's my soapbox.
Well, so I think some of the problem, like you said, it does take a village. It takes a family. It takes people just to raise a kid, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is a lot of people are doing their own thing. And, you know, kids are being raised a lot now by media. And unfortunately, media is all about selling. So they're going to do things that are outrageous.
And iPads.
But if there's no parent to tell them not to do that, they're going to think that's the right thing to do because they're seeing it work on internet.
Totally.
So it's real tough to tell a kid that they can't do something, because they're seeing it work and they're being rewarded for it otherwise. So why would they listen to an adult now?
We did get an email because we keep going off on social media and the youth of today. Y'all sound like some old bitter motherfuckers.
Social media, though, slowly has become real, like reality. It's just as real as everything is day to day.
Well, I love when people try to use my age, and that's what people do, by the way, to diminish your argument.
To shame you.
Well, I mean, whether it
okay, boomer.
Yeah, they'll do something that is kind of a. They'll attack your age or your gender. You're a man. You can't say that. You're a woman. You don't have an opinion, and it doesn't really.
It's not a valid argument.
No, it's not a valid argument either, because there's some older people out there that have great wisdom from living, and there's some shitty older people.
Yeah.
Just like there's some great younger people who have great innovative ideas, and there's some shitty younger people. When we talk about that stuff, I mean, I think we have a wide range of ages here. Birdney is, I think, what, 29? 30 and 2. Oh, damn, dirty 30, Brittany. We got to celebrate that shit.
Spring chicken.
So we got Brittany 30. You're how old, Beckett?
37.
Vicky.
Oh, he finally said it definitively.
Yeah.
He said a mid-30.
A soft 37.
Mid-30. The fuck out of here.
It's a hard 37.
Vicky, you know, you have the same age.
I'm 53.
53. I'm 42, going on 43 in May. And Denny's?
36.
So I don't think we're so out of touch with the youth. To where,
I work with the youth.
Exactly.
What up with the youth?
So there is something that is weird and changing. And I personally do believe I've seen a change in people's personalities because of social media. Not to say that I don't love social media. There's some great parts of it. But there's also some things that I think is creating anxiety and depression and insecurity. But That would have happened whether social media was here or not, just in a different form.
Yeah. It's creating new anxieties, new fears. It's causing new fetishes, new desires. It's weird. It's a brand new medium that people were just given one day.
Yeah.
And people didn't know how to handle it, didn't realize how powerful it is. And now I feel like we're feeling the repercussions of so much social media.
And I don't know if this is true. I just go on a vibe or a feeling. But I feel like things like you bring up fetishes, that kind of stuff. I feel like that stuff is on the rise and you're more open to talk about that because of everyone going on social media or going on a forum, even anonymously, and saying what they're into. And then you're getting people that back that up anonymously. So you're like, I'm not alone. And I think that does create a different society. And I'm not saying good or bad. I just say it's something different.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. You know, I always wonder, and, you know, with homosexuality, you know, is it because people became more liberated to be out of the closet, or if there was actually more homosexuality? And with fetishes, is it chicken or the egg scenario? Like, because there's different venues, like the fuzzies we've talked about and things like that, because people
the
are
furries,
more.
The furries, man.
Furries.
Get them, Denny's.
Somebody's got to stand up for that demo.
Because it's a great point. It's a great thought. Did people always have that interest deep down, and now they have a venue to like come out with it, or it was developed because of access to it?
To Bertney's point, just even with the breast conversation, as soon as society starts to normalize any kind of action and it's normal, the stigma starts to decline.
Look at marijuana. Like back in the 90s, people were sneaking behind a dumpster, like, don't tell anyone, like, you're expelled from school type thing. Nowadays, like, people are like, let me hit the vape pen at Target. You know?
Five years ago, I never would have talked about any kind of pot, marijuana, anything. And I mean, I smoke pot, but I would never bring that up.
Right.
Because I don't want to be one of those people that glamorizes something, because not everyone smokes pot. I feel bad sometimes even when we talk about drinking a lot on the KVJ show, because I know there's definitely it's not a small percentage. There's a percentage of people who are really against drinking, and they don't like to hear that glamorized because they've had a loved one or they've struggled with it. And I totally get that. But like we're talking about with the weed stuff, it has become so desensitized, and so there's not a stigma anymore. Your teachers are talking about smoking.
My parents are talking about doing edibles. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and that didn't happen 5 years ago.
No.
I mean, 10 years ago, I never would have. I mean, they would allude on the KBJ show that I might toke every now and then. I'd be like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But now, especially Denny's being on the show, kind of, Denny's, the greatest thing about Denny's does not put any airs on. He lets you know if you're a millionaire or if you're a homeless person on the street, this is who I am.
Right.
And there's a freedom to that.
Totally.
To let somebody know, hey, this is who I am. There's no tricks.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, go pound tar.
People respect that. Even if they may not admit it, I think most people respect that.
I think
people envy that.
I think anybody who's able to live 110%, they're honest to God, truth of who they are, whatever that is, I think that's what living is, when you're able to not give a shit.
Which begs the question, why aren't we all?
Because I think we're so afraid of insecurities and what the crowd's going to say, and, you know, oh my gosh, Beckett, you're driving that, or you're wearing that, or you're dating them. For some reason, we still have that elementary high school mentality. If somebody judges us to the point where they think we're less than, that's why it's tough when people scream morals at you.
Right.
Because morals is such a personal, specific thing. You know, your morals are going to be different than Vicky's. Is Vicky's going to be different than mine? I mean, I think you have a commonality with stuff. But when you start going right or wrong, I know you have a very strong opinion on right or wrong, Denny's.
Yeah, I think everything's made up of shades of gray. It's kind of hard for a person. I mean, if you were to be Christian, you would say God would make that decision of what's right and wrong, and humans don't really necessarily have the choice. But it's just really hard not knowing everybody's situation to judge them. It's tough to judge people based on, like you guys said, the old saying, book by its cover. You don't know anything of the story.
If someone cuts you off, you could be wanting to
they could be cutting you off because they're on the way to the hospital, because
exactly.
they're wife is having labor. Yeah. You're in labor.
Well, it goes to, we talk about it all the time. Let's say everybody works with a prick or a bitch. Somebody that you just, oh my gosh, I can't, they're so evil, they're terrible. Vicky, I'm sure you work with somebody you don't like.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's on a job-related level. Let's say you do a little Ebenezer Scrooge kind of a, you know, Christmas past thing where you're able to see their real life. They go into their room and they weep, or they are struggling with somebody who has cancer. I'm not saying everybody who's a dick has that, but imagine if you were to actually get a snapshot of some a snapshot of someone's real life, and maybe it kind of explains why they're such a cock.
Well, being a psychic medium, I do see those snapshots, and I get a lot of flack sometimes from my friends when I defend someone who is an absolute bitch or a douche or whatever, when I say, well, you know, I think that they're dealing with this, that, and the other. And I do that when I come in contact with spirits that were nasty spirits. And I say, well, they were that way because of this happened to them, blah, 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 blah. So I am fortunate enough to be able, for the most part, to see that other side and why someone is acting the way they are.
It's a weird thing because we hear stories of like a 7-year-old living in a house where there's abuse and there's violence and you feel bad for that 7-year-old up until they're 18. And let's say that 18-year-old then, you know,
robs a bank,
kills somebody, but that's what they were taught. They don't know right or wrong. They really don't know empathy, sympathy. They don't know that. We feel bad, and then all of a sudden we stop feeling bad when they turn 18 and they're a legal adult. It's kind of a contradiction there, I think.
But see, if our prison systems were truly set up to be for rehabilitation, then whatever happened in the past that caused the person to commit the crime, if they worked on those issues, then when we put them back in society, we would have a healed society. We would have fewer crimes, and the person wouldn't repeat their crimes if they actually figured out why they did it in the first place.
I'd like to get everyone's opinion on that. Okay, yeah. So what you're saying is if there's the right rehabilitation classes or whatever.
Therapy.
So what's the answer then? If you were in charge, I want to get everybody, you all are all the warden now. You are in charge of making these people become better citizens, better humans. What do you do? Start it off with Beckett.
Well, I think I brought it up before. So the penitentiary was because William Penn of Pennsylvania had the, I don't know, was he a Quaker or whatever his background was. But the whole idea of prisons, penitentiaries, were for rehabilitation. That was like the whole premise behind it. And I think that to lock someone up for 4-8 years and throw them back, like we're causing society more and more problems because we're not doing anything of what Vicky's saying. It's a huge issue. There should be some kind of forced education or incentives. They can have a lesser sentence and teach them a trade because they go out. A lot of times they are better at crime when they get out of prison. So I couldn't agree more. It's a huge problem.
Now, is it different if it's somebody who robs a bank compared to somebody who beats up an old person? You know, violent crimes.
Violent crimes are way worse, I think.
Well, they are definitely way worse, but can someone who commits a violent crime, can we
rehabilitate?
Yeah.
It's possible, like what Ryan was saying, if we have to teach them what they're going to do. So they have to have a trade when they come out because they can't go back to crime. But we have to get to the reason why they did it in the first place. So you can't have this without the psychology behind it. They have to have therapy. They have to figure out why they did what they did. Because if you don't figure out the why, then having a job, you can come out with a law degree. It's not going to help you if you didn't figure out why you were there in the first place.
Denny's your thought. You're the warden of, you know, big shit prison in Texas.
Yeah, I do think.
You got a guy named Bones.
I hear you. We talk
about Bones a lot on the KVJ show. Bones is a guy, he's a repeat offender. He has robbed, arrested, let out. He robbed again, arrested. Now he's beating up old women. He's doing weird shit. What do we do for Bones?
Well, so if somebody's robbing and they get arrested and they're robbing again, clearly there's somebody who needs to get money, right? So they didn't do it through education, or they just can't keep a job because of their temper. Whatever that be, I do think you guys are right on the money to say that we should have, you know, rehabilitation for them. I think across the board, with outside of prison, I think people in general should have mandatory sessions with therapists. I think that it's something that is completely neglected.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think in every profession, in fact, therapists typically have therapists to help them with the shit they have to deal with when they're talking to people.
Right.
Vicky, do you believe in therapy?
Yes, I think it can help people. I think that if you have the right support system, it could act the same as a professional therapist, as long as it's somebody that you can be 100% honest with, someone that you can really hash things out with.
I so agree with that. I think if you have people who have a kind heart and that are that they have their head on straight, they can help you just like a therapist. I love therapy. I think therapy is a good thing. But just like anything, there's some shitty therapists out there. There's some really bad therapists out there that tell you to stop dating somebody or to take a pill when you shouldn't take a pill. There's a lot of that shit out there. Like, there's great cops, there's bad cops. There's great teachers, there's bad teachers.
Good friends, bad friends. You get a friends give me the wrong advice, too. It doesn't matter.
There's good pizza, there's bad pizza.
There's a profession tied to it.
I agree. So if you make everyone have a PhD or certain master's level degree, you're not going to eliminate bad, but I think you're going to cut through a lot of the bad by having certain barriers to entry and having like a certain set of training, because you could have a support group that I think is a great in addition to and sometimes could be all that you need, but sometimes at any point you can have someone in your support group that also gives you the worst possible advice ever. And the only thing about a psychologist, psychiatrist is you hope that they have a certain level of training, experience, education in it that doesn't eliminate the bad, but I think, you know, they're doing methods that have been researched and practiced and things like that. So I think that the chances of getting bad advice are still there, but less bad.
So if you have a circle of friends or family that you trust, I mean, that could count as therapy.
Yeah.
All of that counts as well. I guess
I think running,
yeah,
working
whatever
out,
your therapy
being
is.
Yeah, that could be all versions and supplemental of mental health.
It's so weird. I hate running. The idea of running is awful. You know, just, you know, I got to get my shoes on, fucking socks, they got to match. There's a lot that has to happen for running. But I will say, when I'm done running and I'm sitting on a bench or I'm sitting crisscross applesauce in the grass, I'm looking at the sun and I'm finally coming down, there's almost not a better feeling in the world. There's a euphoric feeling that's even better than a drug, alcohol, all that stuff. It's a sense of peace, and I've talked about it before, walking in nature, where you are just, you know, let's say you're at Jonathan Dickinson State Park, and you're just kind of walking, thinking, and then all of a sudden, like a ton of bricks, it hits you over the head, and you see a tree or a sunbeam hitting a leaf, and I don't know, man. It's without weed, without anything like that, it's spiritual. It sort of makes sense for a fleeting moment, and there's inner peace.
Yeah.
That's the drug we're all looking for, the inner peace. And it's such a fleeting feeling. It makes me wonder why it's so fleeting, and is there a way to tap into that more often?
Run more often.
Drugs.
Right?
So I've got a couple people talking to me, Vicky. I got the devil, I got the angel. I'm hearing running and I'm hearing drugs. Vicky, I need somebody in the middle to help me figure this bullshit out.
I don't know. I mean, do drugs while you're running? I mean, that's the compromise.
There's people who do that as well, and they're freaks of nature. But do you ever
I think you may have to make a conscious effort that you're going to bring that moment back. So if you know what brings that moment to you, that gives you your peace, you have to make time for it. You have to do it. We all make a choice in life, we have bills, we have mortgages, we have responsibilities. But at some point, you have to decide what makes you happy. And if it's not being one of the rats in the rat race, then you just have to go ahead and do what you need to do to get out of the rat race.
I mean, the rat race really is, there's so many people listening right now. I would say 90% of the people listening are involved in the rat race. They're struggling to make their bills every month, or maybe they're not struggling and they're in a job that's shitty. I think if you are knee deep in the rat race, there's got to be other stuff in your personal life that makes you feel at peace. Whether it's a walk and a landscape you love to sit by. I mean, I know it sounds corny, but there are simple, small things you can do to make your life a little bit better. And I think we don't tap into that because we think it's silly. I think sometimes we think it's silly to walk by the ocean and sit there and just kind of be like, oh, that's fucking trippy. I don't want to do that. But I think it's a necessity.
Yeah. And I think it really helps. The other thing that I find is that you don't always have to do peaceful things that are actually good for mental health. Sometimes do things you're afraid of doing, like things you've thought about doing for 10 years, mm-hmm. like whether it was enter that marathon or to go skydiving or whatever. I mean, it almost sounds cliche, but the rush, talk about natural rushes,
oh, yeah.
the rush you get out to do something you're afraid of and you overcome that and achieve that, man, it's hard to match that.
Yeah.
Dennis, do you have something in your life where you would like to achieve, but fears kind of blocked you off a little bit?
It's hard to say. I've found my divot. I kind of live in it.
So what's a Denny's divot?
Well, so I usually just try to spend my time doing things creative. I like to paint. I like to write. I like to draw.
This son of a bitch is a great painter, by the way. I just want to go on record. He's a great painter.
Well, I appreciate it. But yeah, I like to do stuff like that. So ultimately, I just try to carve out time in my life where I can meditate. I just need to meditate once a day, and I just need to do something creative, like whether it's work on a song, draw something, write something.
How does a Denny's meditate? Let's say Kevin's on your ass, Virginia's got a deadline, Bird's being a bitch. Denny's is at his wit's end, Vicky. What does a Denny's do in a meditation session to bring him back down? Because honestly, a lot of people... We get so many people that say, I want to meditate. I would love to be able to do that. How?
Well, so there's no right way. You have to meditate on how you want to meditate. So what I do, and I don't even have to be stressed, I try to do it consistently. I try to – ultimately, the goal is to maintain a placid middle ground. It's impossible not to stray into the extremities of, you know, manic or too chill. Like, it's a whole spectrum you can live in. The goal is to try to hover in the middle as much as possible. But I close my eyes for 10 minutes. I set an alarm on my phone. I know that's probably crazy but 10 minutes is all you need. I just try to not think of anything for 10 minutes. If I think of stuff and I'm trying to stop myself from thinking of it for 10 minutes, that's still meditating. I still count that as practice.
Okay, so me and you definitely meditate differently. You meditate for nothing. You try to clear it all out.
Everything.
I try to do specific meditations.
Yeah.
But I've also heard that the meditation where you try to clear out your mind and try to really go blank and just concentrate on the sounds and your breathing. It sounds like that's kind of what you're into.
Yeah, I try to think of just void, nothing.
Okay, now with that said, what are the benefits, in your opinion, when you do something like that?
Well, so just resting your mind for 10 minutes is like an eternity. Because your brain, even when you sleep, never stops. It still dreams. It's still rebuilding your body. If you can just stop thinking for 10 minutes, I find that I cool off, and it not temperature-wise, but it takes like a load off, and it helps me think faster. There's sometimes, you know, you're just wandering. I feel like everything you do is 1 millisecond later than you've thought it.
Yeah.
It's weird. You're almost in like a fog, or you get medicine head. But I won't have any medicine in my system. My diet won't be that crazy. It's just something happened that day that my chemistry was off.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that feeling more than anything. So when I have that, I try to meditate a little bit more.
Do you find yourself...
But it does help with that.
A little bit more irritated, less patient if you haven't kind of calmed yourself and centered yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. I think just 10 minutes is all you need. It takes a huge edge off your day. But then also, at the same time, I do in the evenings like to smoke pot because it does help. It's another thing that takes the edge off. I used to like drinking alcohol. The only reason I stopped was the hangovers. Even if I only drink one beer the next day, I can still feel slightly lethargic.
Off, yeah. No, for sure. No,
I can't figure out why.
I'm with you on the alcohol. I'm trying to wean it off as much as possible. But like a Denny's, I do like a drink every now and then.
Yeah.
It does calm the nerve. I do want to ask you just to kind of go back onto the meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so many people always say, I try to sit there and I can't. The thoughts, I just can't meditate. I just can't meditate. That'd be like me saying I can't do a math test without studying. You have to struggle, in my opinion, with it. So somebody who is a novice level with meditation and they are getting discouraged because they can't sit still. They can't. The thoughts keep creeping in. What would you give them for advice?
Well, I would just equate it to anything you've ever learned in your entire life. You don't just pick up a bike and start riding it. You have to learn to ride a bike. All of that takes practice. You're going to suck horribly for a long time. I mean, it could be 6 to 10 months. It could be a year. You might just suck at it.
It really annoys me when I hear people who say they can't meditate and they've only been doing it for 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you guys, I got into it deeply for a couple different times in my life, and I saw a major improvement with my mental stability. But it does take work. It does take patience. And it takes you being a little bit kind to yourself. Because I think, you know, for example, if you're trying to learn guitar and you're learning it for 10 minutes and you can't get a D chord, you want to throw the guitar out. Oh, fuck this guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, some things take time and patience. Like when you plant, you know, a tree. Or a piece of fruit, it's going to take a little bit of time to grow and show you the fruits of your labor.
Anything of value is going to take time.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, because think, when you see somebody who's in great shape and you're looking at them, you're like, you knew how much time went into that. You know that that's hard, so that has value to it, because you can't be just done overnight.
Yeah, and it's funny how the, you know, not to be cliche, but it's kind of funny how the universe works, right? Things that are the most rewarding took usually the most work.
Yeah.
And yeah, like as much as I want to learn the guitar, if I just, you know, tried to take a lesson for, you know, a few times a week and then just ditched it and be like, ah, I can't learn to play a guitar. You guys would be like, dude, you didn't even give it a shot. Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, we live in a culture where if you're obsessed with something, you are considered crazy. Mm-hmm. But bottom line is, if you want to get good at something, you have to become obsessed. Yeah. Vicky, thoughts, obsession?
I'm one of those people that can't meditate. just so you know.
Have you really tried though?
But that's not what makes me happy. That's not what I need. If I'm feeling overwhelmed, and that's the thing too. Not everybody, meditation's not right for everybody.
You're right. Absolutely.
For me,
great point.
For me, I'm upset. I'm jumping in my car. I'm rolling the windows down. I'm cranking the stereo, and I'm blowing past people on
listening
the highway.
To a little lover boy.
Listening to music can be meditation.
Exactly. Music is my thing. Like if I'm upset, I'll either get in the car, I'll put headphones on, something like that. That's what I've always done from the time I was young.
There's a misconception on you have to go crisscross applesauce and with incense for meditation.
Like
no, there's a walking meditation. There's visualizing your problems. That's what I do in my meditation. Mm. If I know I have a meeting that I'm going to go into and I'm going to run hot and I don't want to run hot, I'm going to go through every level of every scenario that's going to happen and I'm going to go through that emotionally while meditating. And it does help me when I get in the real situation.
There's a great book on meditation. It's called 10% Better. It's this news anchor. He was on some national news thing and he had a anxiety attack live on the air.
Oh, geez.
And anyways, he incorporated, you know, he's a pretty hard, tough, not in his, you know, not a guy you would think would meditate. Anyways, he wrote this book about how it helped him. But a lot of people, I think today, in today's times, we want this magic bullet life hack where it's going to totally change my life. And being in shape is going to really help your life. Mm-hmm. Meditating is going to help your life. So his point is like, listen, I'm not telling you that meditation is going to make you a different person. He goes, for me, it made my life 10% better. And if you look at your life, 10% is a lot.
Yes.
It's a lot better. One of the other things I picked up is that if I try to erase thought from my head, it makes me think about more things. It's like trying to make yourself go to sleep, and then it becomes harder to go to sleep.
Don't think about the pink elephant in the room.
Right, exactly.
Oh my gosh, the pink elephant's jerking off.
Exactly. And so that's how mine works. And the best advice I got is that if you think of meditation and your thoughts are a bunch of cars, like traffic on the road, you don't try and make all the cars disappear. What you try to do, is put yourself on the hill next to the highway, and you're not in the traffic, you're observing the traffic. So if you can just observe your, like when you have a thought, observe it, but like almost like a third person and just let it go, you know? And to me, that's been the most helpful because I tend to get in my thoughts a lot.
Vicky, being a psychic medium, do you pray?
I ask for protection.
So that's a sense of prayer.
Yeah, I always, one of the things I ask for is that the right person come forward to give whoever I'm reading for, give them the message that they need.
So if you don't mind, could I ask you a personal question? If you were to pray in your head, what would it sound like?
God, please give me the guidance and the help that I need in order to help this person, give them the answers that they need.
Beckett, if you were to pray, how would you pray? Let's say you're struggling with the situation here and you want guidance.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
I do the old-fashioned Christian praying.
Let's hear it.
I'd say, dear God, and whether that's a Christian God or a universal God or whatever, I just think of the higher power mindset. I mean, I was raised Christian, so it tends to go in that lean or that slant. But I usually start out with an apology because I haven't talked to you in this long.
And I need something, so.
It's a whole thing.
Right, right, exactly.
God, do you have your hand out because I want something?
Right, exactly. But I think I'm humble about that, and I've had conversations in the past about that. And I think part of it is the God, the higher power. Part of it is almost like talking to a fern or the secret or putting it out there in the mm-hmm. space, saying it out loud for me. So say it's just a bunch of dark space and there's not a higher power. The fact that I'm saying it out loud on how I might have remorse about something or how I feel or how I want protection or certain like that. Like, to me, I think that the mental exercise just for me doing it, even if no one is hearing it, you know, whatever, I think that's still worth it. But in an off chance there is someone hearing it, then I try to like have those conversations. And, you know, I don't really think there's any downside to it.
I also think too, I want to get your answer, Denny's too, but it's almost kind of like writing out your problems on a journal. When you talk to, if you want to call it God, if you want to call it source, if you want to call it whatever, spirit, I think when you literally regurgitate all of your thoughts and insecurities that you're struggling with, I think that just alone brings peace to you.
Yeah.
It's sometimes called just putting out there in the universe.
Yeah.
Putting it out there, and then the universe will answer you if you put it out there.
Denny's, do you pray ever?
I've never prayed ever.
Not once in your life?
Never. Never been encouraged to.
So if you had to pray, let's say you got some bullshit going on and you had to talk to God, what would it sound like?
Well, so I'll do an internal monologue.
Yeah, I want to
I'm usually like, all right.
Chewy, baby, chewy.
So more so just an internal monologue. I'm thinking out what I'm going to be doing. I've never actually like,
right, so
asked
three,
for anything.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, pray.
Well, so usually I'm like, all right, if there's a God out there, please don't fuck me here, please. That's, that's what I say when things are like really going bad.
That's good.
But it's very, very, very rare.
Well, I'm going to go and end the podcast because Chewy's going berserk now.
Oh,
but thank you guys for listening. Like I said earlier, please like, share the podcast. I can't tell you how much that really, really works and mm-hmm. helps out when the podcast does upload. Put your comment down in the section, in the comment section. Our question this week was?
Topless women.
Exactly. I knew you would remember. Do you think women should be allowed to go topless, or are we just getting so progressive that we are getting crazy here? Let us know in the comment section below. Vicky, I want to ask you to kind of get people to put comments in the section.
Right.
We have to kind of, you know, get them.
Kind of prime the well.
Prime the well. And we were doing a Vicky psychic readings. Are we done from the 48?
If anybody didn't get theirs, some people scheduled and they were given the direction to call me at a certain day and time and they did not.
Okay.
One person in particular, I have rescheduled 3 times and they never call when they're supposed to.
Damn.
So anybody, I can match up your original email. So if you need to, you can go ahead and email me at contact@pointparanormal.com and I will get back to you.
And if we get somebody that puts a comment down on our comment section that goes off, we got 17 likes on that comment. Would you be so great to give a 10-minute reading to that great person?
Oh, to somebody who
yeah.
shows a lot of love on our...
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Okay, motherfuckers, share this shit, okay? We love you all, and...
Bigfoot is real!
What? What's that sound? Where? It's aliens, and they're living in your town. Damn. They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
Where?
So many aliens living in your town.
Are you scared of aliens? Well, you should be, 'cause aliens want to probe around in your booth.